Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. Happy Dadgum Monday. We missed a couple of days last week, Ben, and we need to get our act together. We need to get our act together and make sure that we can deliver. We can deliver every single day. No, glad to be here today. Glad to have Ben here. We're going to talk recruiting today. Obviously, try to do it from a little bit of a different angle, maybe a more holistic angle. Yeah. But Auburn lands a big time. And when I say big time, I mean is just about as big as it gets as far as running backs go. In Mycen Johnson Cook, call him MJC, 6'2", 235 running back out of East St. Louis, which is actually in Illinois. So I know that's confusing, but it's actually in Illinois. And you know how bad I am at geography. That's a big-time curveball. But obviously fired everybody up this weekend, and you're kind of getting into commit season.
Well, that's the thing is I make no bones about it. Like, I'm more of a reactionary slash film guy, like watch, you know, what takes place on the field and then talk about that. And you are a futures guy. You got big picture of looking out what's in the future. And so you follow recruiting much more closely than I do. I mean, as a matter of fact, I usually will text you and say, hey, tell me about this guy. Tell me about this person. And the reason being is because Kyle makes fun of me because I'm one of those guys that until they sign the dotted line, I don't really follow recruiting.
Hey,
I
mean, hey, guess what, Ben? It ain't signing the dotted line doesn't even end it anymore.
No.
It's not, you got to be moved in and enrolled because there's kids that signed and still went in the portal after they signed their letter of intent. So, I mean, I get where you're coming from.
And listen, at this point, you got to be paying property taxes in order to start counting if somebody being in school or not. That's just how that works. So, but you mentioned the running back commit that we got, and you said a big get, not just big in terms of the team picking him up, but in getting the commitment. This is a big dude, man.
Yeah, his most recent weigh-in, according to his 247 profile, he was 6'2", 235. And we did a live show on Sunday night, and someone mentioned, hey, that's probably too big. Like, you don't need to be that big to be a running back. And I would agree to an extent if he weren't, like, in didn't have world-class speed as well. He's run, I think when he was running track his sophomore year, he ran like a 10.3 wind-aided 100-meter dash. And like for comparison's sake, Bo Jackson in high school ran a 10.44 100-meter dash in high school. So like not saying obviously he's going to be the next Bo Jackson, but I'm just saying he's big and he has world-class speed, 4.44 40, which would have put him, I think, the fourth or fifth fastest 40-yard dash in the NFL draft this year for running backs that were at the combine. So he's big, but he has world-class speed as well, which is just phenomenal.
There's just those that say that, he's too big, is Derrick Henry's made a pretty good living in college and the pros. If Bo doesn't get hurt, Bo lives a pretty good life. Herschel Walker had a pretty good living. Now, I know that we're talking about big names and we're talking about Heisman people, but if they take care of their bodies, there is a place for a big running back.
Sure.
And especially one that if they got good hands out of the backfield where they can use them other than just – but two, those type guys, man, if you can get them into the fourth quarter, Kyle, they just punish defenses because the defense is kind of winded. They're on their heels. And when you got 6'2", two – let's just call it, if he gets to Auburn, now with a commitment, he signs, he gets to Auburn, he's probably not going to grow taller, but he could definitely gain muscle. If he's 6'2", 240, 242, and he's still running a 4.4, and you give him the ball in the fourth quarter and he hits the edge, that's hard to arm tackle, dude. That's a tough guy to bring down.
For sure, for sure. And, I mean, just for comparison's sake, I mean, Cam Petway was a big back. I think he was 237. So you're talking similar size.
I don't think he was 6'2". I think he was
he's 6 foot. So he wasn't super big. He was just, you know, real bulky. I mean, and he had some good top end speed, but so you're kind of in that neighborhood as far as weight goes, but you're just faster, maybe even a little bit more athletic. So again, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Cam Petway, not saying he's going to be the next Bo Jackson. I'm just using that for a frame of reference. He's just a big kid.
You're saying the intangibles are there.
He's a big kid, and he can run real fast. How about that?
Yeah. And, yeah, we'll teach him. I mean, the Eagles just drafted a guy that never played football because he's a big kid and can run real fast. So
he's a big kid, That's a crazy story, by the way. 305 and ran a 4.56.
Yes.
And never played football, and they just drafted
him. Never played football. People are like, why they draft him? It's like, because he's 300 pounds and he runs a 4.5. We'll teach him football.
He had less than 6% body fat from, like, Nigeria or something like that. It's crazy. Like, just freak of a human. And they just took him without even needing to see him play football. But, I mean, the running backs are have been undervalued for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, man, is the big back coming back?
Yes.
You saw Jeremiah Love. Now, he's not as big as, you know, he's not as big as MJC, but, you know, he's still, you know, 215 pounds, you know, close to, 215, 220, and he's fast. And he got drafted early. Like, I think he was, like, what, number three or number four overall pick? Something.
He was two or three.
Maybe so. I mean, he was up there.
And that's unheard of. That,
number
like,
three
times,
pick.
How many times have we heard through the years, running back-wise, hey, don't take a running back because you're only going to get about 4 years out of them. And now when they're seeing the way the health is and the nutrition of these guys, and these guys lasting 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years in the league, as I mentioned, Henry, because he takes care of his body and they try to put him in places to succeed, I think now some of these NFL teams are like, okay, we need a running game first. And so that's going to trickle down to college where look at this year's team, Kyle. Look, I've told you, we got three guys, in my opinion, that could start anywhere in the SEC.
Yeah.
Minimum. And they will all be used during the course of a game, and it's only going to be beneficial for them and for the team because it'll be fresh legs towards the end. So you add in another guy that's 6'2", 235 to 240, depending on how much weight he puts on in the offseason and stays healthy, and that's just another – you know, another spoke in the rim of success. So I'm looking forward to it. That, and speaking of which, when it comes to stuff like that in recruiting, how big is this for Golish and the team? Because we're talking about getting commits from guys on an unproven project right now. And a project that has been very unsuccessful the last 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a bunch, and we talked about this again on our live show. There's a bunch of narratives that were out there. You know, Auburn only has two commits. Does this staff, they're a G5 staff. Do they have the ability to go land these top prospects that can win at the, you know, in the SEC? Can they identify talent? Can they close? Do they know how to handle all the money at this level? Like, there's all these narratives, you know, sort of, you know, I really starting to ramp up just because of how slow it's been as far as commitments go. And then you land this one right after you lose your quarterback, your top quarterback target to Oregon. You turn around and you land this one less than a week later. I think it was big. It bolted Auburn all the way up into like the top 12 as far as rankings go, just because of how the level of commit you have. You got three and all of them are top 250 kids. Two of them are right there in the top 100. Meissen's like a top 50 guy. It just shows that they can go. I mean, they have the ability to go get the elite of the elite, and they don't even really have a product to sell yet. So that's only going to get better if they can show results. So it's a big win on a multiple fronts.
Yeah. Well, and let me get back to this. You just mentioned the narrative being out there and, you know, the G5. What I'd like people to look at, though, when they look at stuff like that, and this even – I'll even say this about Summerall being over at Florida and you know, and coming from Tulane and, you know, Golish being at South Florida and coming up to Auburn. And, you know, you look at, you know, the Central Florida's coach that went to Tennessee and Gus that came from Arkansas State and goes to Auburn, you know. And when they start talking about teams, I'm like, keep in mind when he cut his teeth, he was at Ohio State coaching tight ends and recruiting. Then he was coaching at Tennessee and recruiting. Like, it's one of those deals where it's not like we're throwing a staff out there that's never been in Division I Power 4 football.
Yeah, like, no, I get it.
And so when that narrative comes out, because, look, I'll be one that says it. I said the same thing about DeBoer even just coming from Washington. who is, you know, that is a big school, but I'm like, recruiting the Northwest when you're the big gorilla in the room in the Northwest is probably a lot easier than recruiting the Southeastern Conference, where I understand you're at Alabama, but you got Tennessee, Georgia, Auburn, Mississippi State right next door to you, Texas now involved, LSU. Like, he didn't have that competition up in the Northwest, but he just signed an extension. So apparently the management at Alabama likes him. So I'd say the same thing when it comes to Golish, like, and staff with the Cody Burns of the world, and, you know, who's played high level football before. When it comes to those guys, like, that whole narrative confuses me when people are like, can they recruit? But if they could recruit at South Florida, think what they can do at a program that's got a lot more assets than South Florida.
Yeah, and then you get them on the board and you prove it. So it's good stuff. Good stuff all around. Now they're in the evaluation period, which is where essentially where it's like a month time frame from like April 15th to a little after towards the end of May, where coaches can actually go do visits, actually go off campus. And it's interesting because they opened up to where I think five or six additional coaches now can leave campus and go recruiting. So it'll be fun to see who Auburn sends out on the road. But you look across the SEC and you don't have just a ton of schools that have double-digit commitments. Right. This is really like visit time is when you really start racking up commits. You do have Oklahoma and Texas A&M that both have a fairly large number of commitments, but for the most part, everybody's sort of, you know, hanging around there, you know, six, seven, eight, nine commits. And Auburn's right there with three. LSU's got four. So you see what I'm saying? Like, there's not just a ton of commits out there. Ton of kids in that top 100, top 150 that are still uncommitted that Auburn's going to be knocking on the doors of this next 30 days or so. And then, you know, shortly after that, you'll be starting to have a bunch of official visits where they come to your campus. So this is, you know, when spring is over and it's getting into talking season, that's also when it's commit season. So I think Auburn could, you know, maybe go on a run here with several that they're in really, really good position for.
I think that's awesome stuff, man. Do we need to buy Auburn?
Yeah, before we talk about some of those kids that Auburn could be, you know, on the precipice of adding to their class, let's talk about buyauburn.com. We added a new business overnight. It's actually a fun, like, yoga gym in Biloxi. So if you go on a trip to a casino in Biloxi and you want to get a workout in, go to buyauburn.com. Make sure you hit the filter on Mississippi, and it'll pop up. It's called Soar Bungee Fitness. I mean, that's kind of fun. So I say all that to say there's businesses everywhere that are Auburn people that need to be on here. You can list your business for less than $1 a day. And then, hey, if you're wanting to make a purchase or you're looking for a service, start here, man. And if you're an Auburn fan, start here. Do business with Auburn people. It's buyauburn.com.
So what are some of the needs that Auburn has as far as – because you mentioned the three and LSU having four and what's probably pending. You know, what are they looking for? Because it's got to be way different now, man, than what it used to be, because you got guys you know are probably going to hit the portal, you know, in the offseason. So you're not just recruiting for next year. You're recruiting for what can I get and keep for the next couple of years so they don't leave campus and go somewhere else if they're not happy. So let's look at some of the possible needs that Auburn may have, because with only three, there's plenty of room to grow.
No doubt. It's trenches are always going to be number one. So trenches are always going to be at the top. And
both, you know, sides of football.
On both sides, offense and defense. And you got guys like Carlos May from Ramsey High School that Auburn still seems to be somewhat in the driver's seat for, he's a big time, you know, interior defensive lineman. You can't get enough of those guys. And those guys typically will hang around. If there's a pathway to playing time, you know, you look at a Malik Autry and a Jordan Crawford who didn't play very much last year. And now they're going to play a much bigger role in their sophomore year. They'll hang around a little bit more because it's just tough to come in your freshman year at those positions and be ready to go like year one. So definitely defensive line, offensive line. Maybe you're getting close to picking up a big time interior offensive lineman in Jalen Moore. I think pretty much everybody in the Southeast wants this kid. So trenches are always going to be at the top of the top as far as that goes. And then I think, you know, then it's just, it all depends on what positions have the most seniors, you know, most guys that are going to, you know, possibly be leaving. And, you know, you got with Sylvester Smith leaving, with Champ Anthony leaving, you know, possibly looking at some defensive backs that you're going to be bringing in. You don't lose a ton at wide receiver, so you're probably not going to have a big wide receiver class. If with the emergence of Tristan Tia, like, do you really need to go all in on, you know, a big time quarterback? I don't know that that's necessarily, you know, the case. You're probably going to lose Xavier Adkins to the draft. I would imagine he's going to be one. He's going to be way up draft list after this season. So maybe you look at replenishing that one at linebacker. It really just depends on really that, like who do you stand to potentially lose the most of? Like what position groups do you stand to lose the most of? You're going to have to replenish. And then whatever you can't get, you just go make up in the portal.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's one of the good parts about the portal, that you hear a lot of negativity when it comes to portal, and it especially when you lose guys, because that does suck, because it's guys that you thought could probably make a difference, and they go in there probably going to make a difference somewhere else instead of with your team. And it really even sucks more when they go to another SEC school that you're going to see at some point in time.
Yeah.
The next couple of years. But one of the good parts of it is, you know, you and I have talked about this, you know, you get to see linemen at like JMU that, you know, just stand out and are so good, and you can go grab them because it's a step up as far as the program is concerned. Right. And so if you've got coaches that are monitoring that type thing, you can really benefit from the portal when it comes to it, because you see the needs. You're like, okay, this is our recruiting class. This is what we got in. These are the guys that can be effective by year two if we can keep them here. So now let's go grab these other guys that can make up that difference in this transition year of needing to fill that void while the others grow around them. So I think you're onto something there, though, about the defensive and offensive linemen. That has seemed to be something where guys will stick through their freshman and sophomore year without entering the portal, because there's so much to learn, because it's so easy for them in high school. And then they get to playing against different competition, whether it be practice or game-wise, at, you know, at the SEC level. And then it's almost like that self-awareness of, there's no point in me going anywhere because I still don't know what I'm doing yet. So so that helps too. It's those skill guys that you always got to watch. Those receivers that, you know, can they get five more grabs at another school than they can here? And, you know, that could equate to them leaving, you know, just over, you know, five or six extra catches per year. So it's interesting to me, especially when, because it seems like in high school, yes, I think kids are still asking money-wise, you know, as far as what can you get me?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem as prevalent as portal guys that are like, let's talk money first and then let's talk about the team next.
Say that one more time.
It seems to me that like true freshmen coming in, recruits that are coming in,
mm-hmm.
money is a topic of conversation, but that's not necessarily the first topic like it is for portal guys.
Okay, got it.
Because a portal guy, as some coaches have said, when you talk to them, the first thing they say is how much. They know they can play. So
yeah,
it's how much. Whereas it seems like some of the true freshman guys that are getting recruited, yes, the how much conversation is happening. I'm not ignorant.
Pathway to playing time probably factors in a good bit too. I think money's still up there for both of them, but it may be a little bit less, maybe a little bit less for high school than portal for sure.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see how that affects recruiting.
High school recruiting still matters. That's the thing. Like a lot of times when we talk about it, people are like, who cares? They can go elsewhere. It still matters. Like there's still 30 kids on this roster that I believe that have been here multiple years. Okay. And a lot of them came in here in high school. So it still matters. You still got to recruit in high school well to be successful. Sometimes you can get a discount. Sometimes you can create that loyalty for that long-term relationship. And, you know, it's important. So big win this week. Hopefully you get another one. The big win over the weekend with MJC. Hopefully you get another one this week and you can kind of keep the train rolling.
I think you mentioned the one thing you said right there, relationships. I think a lot of that's got to do with it once you get them in, because clearly winning's not a factor. Otherwise, Indiana wouldn't have had a bunch of people jumping in the portal along with some other big-time programs. So sometimes a kid's just not a fit, man. And sometimes it's a great fit, and they realize that. So then it comes down to the money part. So I love it. I love living vicariously through you on instances like this, because, you know, Kyle will. He'll shoot me a text and be like, this is a good get. And I'm like, okay, now I need to start paying attention, because before, again, until they're, like you just said, in their moved dorm, in their apartment, moved in, and or
have if they cooked at least one meal.
Or, you know, we need them buying condos. If I can get them to buy a condo where they're paying property taxes, I'm solid.
I can be their realtor. How about
there
that?
There you go.
Guys, thank you all for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. Ben, War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.